Gospel according to John. And I really ask an interest in your prayers today. I have a ritual that I go through about preaching. I always ask the Lord to show me the message that He wants brought. Always. I always do that. Lord, You show me what You want me to bring. And sometimes when God does that, I get this thought, okay, You're going to have to help me make a point out of that. And I pray for that. And I ask Your prayers today that I might be able to get across what the Lord has placed on my heart. So I want to begin reading in John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." I'm going to stop reading there with those verses from John chapter 7. We're also here in a few moments going to be looking at some verses in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But I want you to notice in this something that we read there from the 43rd verse there in the 7th chapter of John. And I want to use this today for the title of my lesson. And it tells us there that there was a division because of him. That's what I want to use for a title. There was a division because of him. The Bible says, so there was a division among the people because of him. And I want to also make mention in this about what was said about the Holy Spirit. I believe that when verse 39 says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified," wasn't saying that those that were saved had not yet received the indwelling Spirit. I believe he was talking about the outpouring of the Spirit that was yet to take place upon the church. And so Jesus, and you might find this statement strange, and I certainly hope, after I say this, I certainly hope to be able to properly explain this, but Jesus caused a division among the people. Now we know that God doesn't like division. God likes unity. But there is a way in which oftentimes division happens. There is a way that it is absolutely necessary. And it has been happening for many years, and in a certain way it is going to continue to happen. Jesus caused division among the people based upon what he had said, what he had preached there, what he had told them caused some of them to begin to say, well, this is a prophet. It caused others to begin to say, this is the Christ. Remember reading in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus came to his disciples and he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they all, they had different views on it. Well, some are saying that you're Elijah. Some are saying that you're John the Baptist. Some are saying that you are one of the prophets. And he asked them, well, who do you? He asked his disciples directly, who do you say that I am? And the apostle Peter answered him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the same situation that we read about here in these verses. Some, when they heard this, they were divided in their view based upon what Jesus had said. Some said, after they heard what he said, some said, well, this is a prophet. Some said, it's the Christ. And so there was a division among the people because of him. And did you know that there still exists in the world today a division among the people because of Christ? That still exists today. Now, if we go into Matthew chapter 10, there are some verses there that really, I think, even need a greater explanation, because let's look in Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 33. Let's read what Jesus said here. And these verses I'm going to read, all of these verses were Jesus doing the talking. In Matthew 10, verse 33, he says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, you know, to me, when you just read those scriptures and take them at face value, those seem to me to be absurd statements to be coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't come to send peace on the earth, but yet we know that Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we know that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have Jesus saying, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And I believe here again that he was talking about something that divides. When you think about what a sword does, a sword is something that divides. Think about what was said in the Hebrew letter concerning the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So a sword is something that divides, and God's Word certainly divides. I mean, God's Word certainly spiritually divides us. And he went on and he said, I am come, after he said, I am come not to send peace, but a sword, he said, for I am come to set at variance, which means to divide in two. I am come to set at variance or divide in two, to set at variance a man against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe about these scriptures. I don't believe that Jesus came into the world to break up families. I don't believe for a moment that that's what he was telling us. I don't think that he came to produce divisions among families. I do believe that he was talking about the necessity of supreme love. You know, the Bible, from the things that the Bible teaches us, I believe that we can accurately say that we must love Jesus supremely or we don't love him. There is no in between there. Jesus demands that we love him supremely. He said, he told us that if we don't, that we cannot be his disciple. Remember Jesus asking the Apostle Peter the question. He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" When he came out there on the shores there and he spoke to the his disciples there and they had been fishing, and he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And there has been a lot of difference of opinions as to what Jesus was exactly asking him, but he went on and he asked him that question, and Peter finally became a little bit upset about it because the Lord asked him three times, "Do you love me more than you love these?" Some believe that he was asking Peter if he loved him more than he loved the disciples, or some believe that he was asking him if Peter loved him more than the other disciples loved him. But regardless of exactly what it was he was asking him, I do know this, that Jesus was asking the Apostle Peter if he had a supreme love for the Lord above everything else. That's the point that he was trying to make in that. That's the point that Jesus was trying to make here. I want you to think with me today, and I believe that it's good for us as God's people. I believe it's healthy for us spiritually to consider and to ponder these things from time to time, that we might know exactly where we're at, that we might know exactly where we stand spiritually, that we might know if we are the people that we ought to be. And I think today that it would do every one of us good to ask ourselves the question. You ask yourself the question in your own heart, do I really love the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, if you are not afraid to do that, if you're willing to do that, if you're really willing to, as the Bible says, consider your ways, if you're really willing to ask yourself that question truthfully and honestly and think about your life from day to day and think about the way that you think about your attitude, think about the things that you do, and in light of those things, ask yourself the question, do I really have the love for the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm supposed to have? You might just see in yourself some things that will really open your eyes. I know that I sure have before. Jesus doesn't just ask this type of love of his people, he demands it. He demands this type of love. If we look in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in verse 26, it says there, Jesus said there, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now we could read those things and we could say, you mean the Lord Jesus wants me to hate? The Lord Jesus wants me to hate my family? He wants me to hate my father? He wants me to hate my mother? He wants me to hate my children? Why, of course not. We know that that's not true. None of us would dare answer yes to those things. We know that God is love. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when Jesus came here, He gave His life on the cross of Calvary, not because He hated us, because He loved us. And He has commanded us to love one another. But what Jesus was saying in that, the word hate there was taken from a Greek word that means love less. Jesus was saying, if any man doesn't love his father less, then he loves me. If any man doesn't love his mother less than he loves me, if any man doesn't love his wife less than he loves me, if any man doesn't love his sons and daughters less than he loves me, that man cannot be my disciple. In other words, if our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is not supreme above everyone and everything else in this life, then Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. That's what He commands of us. And you think about, sometimes I think we fail perhaps to stop and really realize the tall order that we've been given. Think about your children. They're really precious, aren't they? I mean, think about the great love that we have for our children, and think about those who are blessed with a good spouse, because, you know, the Bible talking about a man and his wife says that they become one. That's the type of union that God wants marriage to be, that we become one. But we think about all of those things and we realize that there are those in our lives, no matter how special and how precious that they are to us, we must love the Lord more than them. We must love Him above everyone and everything else in this life if we are truly going to walk as the people that He would have us to be. You know, if the church doesn't love the Lord supremely, it's in trouble. She's in trouble. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I know that we fail. I know that we fail in things because we're not perfect. It seems that in recent years, I couldn't tell you how many sermons I've heard. I couldn't tell you how many pastors I've heard preach this, how many other people I've heard talk about it. We had a lesson this year at the association meeting on church discipline. And it was mentioned again, and we were reminded again in that good report about how that the church has, the churches in general, our old-time missionary Baptist churches in general through the years, we have let down on the discipline that we have agreed to uphold. We have it in our church covenant. We have agreed to maintain the discipline in the church that ought to be maintained. And I believe if we are to be honest with ourselves, we would all have to admit that it's true that we have let down on those things. We have not kept up with the discipline of the church nearly to the point that we should have through the years. And I'll tell you exactly why I believe we have done that, and where I believe our infirmity is that our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is not what it ought to be. That's why we do those things. That's why we fail in those things. You know why? Because we don't want to hurt our son, or we don't want to hurt our daughter. Amen? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's why we have failed. We don't have the love for the Lord that we ought to have. The truth, and that's what happened here with Jesus, and that's why there was a division among the people. You know why there was a division? Because Jesus spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. The truth has done that through the years. The truth has divided people through the years. The truth has caused division among families throughout the years. I'll never forget years ago hearing Brother Tajima's testimony of how that he, when he was a young boy there in Japan, and how that he heard the missionaries bring the gospel to him. And when he heard the truth, he began to seek the Lord and he got saved. And because of the religion that he had been brought up in, and you know, sometimes you and I forget that there are still places in the world today where the people don't have freedom of religion the way that you and I have it here today. Some of them just barely have religious tolerance in some places in the world. But I'll never forget how that when he got saved and he went and told his family, because that was different than the religion that he had been raised in, he was asked to leave. His house, his parents told him, you have to leave. Can you imagine that? That doesn't happen much here in our country, I don't believe. But you know, there was division among that family because of the Lord. Because he had found him, because he had got saved, and he went and he told his parents that that had happened to them. And they said, well, you know, then if you're going to forsake the family religion, you're just going to have to leave the house. But let me say this, if you're standing with the Lord Jesus, regardless of who is with you, regardless of who may agree with you, or regardless of who may forsake you, and this is one of the main points that I wanted to try to make in this message today. If you are standing for the truth, if you're standing for what's right, you go ahead and you stand regardless of how many humans will stand with you, because I promise you one thing, and I'm going to endeavor to prove this by the Word of God. If you're standing for that which is right, you will never stand alone. You never will. That's a great part of the fulfillment of what was said in that Solomon said in the Proverbs, that the Lord is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's not just that he's there all the time, but it's that if you are standing for what is right, that he will stand with you, stand beside you, he will support you in that. If nobody else will stand with you and help you, the Lord will stand with you. And I'll tell you something else, I believe. One person, as far as I'm concerned, one person that's really standing for something that's right and is really standing for the truth and has the Lord on his side, that person and the Lord, they are a majority. They are the majority as far as I'm concerned. Because one day we're all going to go stand before God. And we're going to be judged based upon the truth of his word. That's the standard by which he's going to judge us. Job, I think so often about the things he said. Job found himself forsaken of people. Remember God's promise to never forsake? Job found himself forsaken of people. I want you to listen in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, what he, some of the things he said. He said, my kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. My breath is strange to my wife, they that dwell in mine house, and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. Job had been forsaken by his family, by his friends. He basically was saying here, they've all turned against me. Even my wife has turned against me. You remember reading back earlier in the book of Job, what his wife tried to get him to do when all those trials and troubles came upon him. She tried to get Job to just curse God and die. And he told her that she spoke like a foolish woman. And here we find in the 19th chapter of Job, him talking about how that all of these people had forsaken him. But he goes on and he takes consolation in this fact in Job 19:25, after he had said all of these things about his friends and his family, how that they had forsaken him. He said, "But I know, for I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job knew the Lord. He knew somebody that wouldn't forsake him. Aren't you glad you have somebody that will never forsake you? But you know, I'll tell you what, the Lord won't stand with you unless you're right. He won't stand with you unless you're right. You've got to be standing for what's right. You've got to be standing for what is true. We have an account in the scriptures of the Apostle Paul, and he speaks about a time when there was nobody, not one person for a time, that would stand with him. He stood completely alone. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge." Now listen to what he said. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You know, I would to God that all people would embrace the truth. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody that you spoke to and tried to witness to would embrace the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? But they don't all do that, do they? And sometimes there is division because of him. But friends, listen, no matter what else anybody thinks, I'll tell you what, there are people today in the world, there have been for many years, and there still are today, and I want to remind you of this and caution you of this. There are people in the world today that don't believe what we believe, that don't stand for the things that we stand for. There are people in the world today that will just let anything and everything go on, and they would love for us to unite with them. They would love for us to just lay aside what they consider our differences and just hook up with them and unite with them. But friends, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the Lord left in his word some absolutes. And I believe there are things that we must stand on. And whether it affects our family or whether it affects our friends, if it causes a division among our family, among our friends, if there are people that won't befriend you like they once did, you stick with the Lord. Stay with him. He'll stay with you. I'll tell you what, if you'll stand up for Jesus, he'll stand with you. He won't let you down. Paul said, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't really know what Paul's trial was there that he was talking about. I've got some ideas, but I don't really know exactly what that trial was that he was making reference to. But he said, "I didn't have anybody that would stand with me. All men forsook me. All of them fled from me. But he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." Our love for Jesus has to supersede our love for anybody or anything if we are to be his true disciples. I've heard people say, I've heard missionary Baptist people sit right in service, perhaps right in a business conference, and make the statement, "Well, I know that we ought to bring disciplinary action against such and such member for what they've done, but we shouldn't do that because we're going to cause problems if we do. You know what I think? When I hear things like that, I think, you know what? Our love for the Lord's just not right then. Just not right. And that's just one example. It certainly goes beyond matters of that. There are many ways that can be true. But we are to love Him more than we love each other. We're to love Him more than we love our children, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers. We're to love Him more than we love our siblings. We are to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and all of our soul. That is the first and greatest of all the commandments. And the one right below it is like unto it. Then we are to love each other. We are to love each other as God's people. We are to love each other the way that He loved us. But we are to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul. And Jesus said, if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. There's more to being a disciple than just having your name on the roll. There are requirements to discipleship, and they must be met if we are truly going to be the Lord's disciples. But don't ever forget that if you are standing for the Lord, if you're standing for what's right, you stand alone if you have to. I mean, as far as human companionship, because the Lord will absolutely stand with you. He will absolutely endorse and support the truth of His word. And that's my message today, and I hope it's been a help to somebody in some way. I appreciate your attention. I want to ask you to remember Brother Carter as he comes tonight. He'll be here, Lord willing, tonight at 6:00. Pray for Brother Scott Carter as he comes to preach this evening. And may we all be what God would have us to be. May He strengthen us. I'll tell you what I believe. And I don't know how many generations, if time goes on, I don't know which generation it's going to be that's going to begin to really, really face it. But I think that there are things that are happening. I believe it's going to become more and more of a challenge for people, even here in our country, to really stand up for the truth. I believe there are things that are facing our churches that if we really stand for the truth, we're going to find ourselves in hot water. With society, we're going to find ourselves in hot water if we will really stand for the truth. Things are getting worse and worse, it seems, all the time. And I pray that God will make us what He would have us to be. Paul said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. We don't have the strength in ourselves, but the Lord can sure give it to us. So I appreciate your attention. And anybody have a word? If not, again, thank you for coming. Remember, service tonight at 6:00. Brother Durant, who has prayer meeting Wednesday? Brother Edwards, pray for Brother Edwards' prayer meeting Wednesday evening. Stand together and we'll be dismissed.